Fall calls for comfort. Mack Weldon's got essentials designed for cool days and timeless style. Their new Ace line combines comfort with sophisticated looks. Go to MackWeldon.com for 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code MACK25.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
What up, what up, what up, everybody, and welcome back to the Windy City Podcast. My name is Alex Shapiro, and joining us today, Bill Huber, who covers the Green Bay Packers for Sports Illustrated. Thank you so much for joining us, Bill. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Wonderful. Looking forward to second Bears-Packers matchup in 3 weeks. It feels like a little treat to have these games put so close together, but of course, Bears fans already know about the Packers, so I want to ask you some in-the-weeds questions about the team to get ready for this second matchup that it feels pretty weighty. We talk so much about how the Bears are viewed in the city now, how vibes are changing around Chicago. Could Caleb finally be the guy? Could this be the team that finally isn't one and done? Are they setting up for sustained success? I'm curious, how are the Bears viewed by folks in Green Bay?
You guys are viewed as legitimate now. I mean, it's been a long, it's been a long time since this rivalry has really meant anything. It's kind of like, you know, back when I was a kid, you know, the Bears beat the crap out of the Packers every game. And you know, it was like a rivalry here. But it probably wasn't down there. Yeah, I'm guessing Bears fans laughed at the Packers back then. It's been much the same since Favre took over. I think it's like 52-16. I mean, that's not a rivalry. I mean, that's bullying. So this is great. Like, the Bears are going to be good for a long time. Ben Johnson obviously knows what he's doing. It appears Caleb Williams is going to be no worse than a competent quarterback, probably better than that. So I think people are excited about this, that for once Packers-Bears is going to mean something. Like, year after year, game after game, it's really going to mean something. Like, you have to go back to when Rodgers came off the broken collarbone and threw the touchdown pass to Randall Cobb. I mean, that's like their last, like, legit big game in the series before, you know, 2 weeks ago, and obviously this one's going to be even bigger. So I think Packers fans look at the Bears and believe that they are a formidable opponent finally.
You touched a little bit on Caleb Williams there, saying that he'll certainly be competent and maybe be even better. How do you see Caleb Williams as maybe different or maybe the same as Justin Fields, Mitch Trubisky, Jay Cutler, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, you know, I can't say that I've watched enough Bears to give you like a great answer on that. Like, Justin Fields can't throw the ball though. I mean, he's a great athlete. He's not a good quarterback. Trubisky had the tools. Like, there's this innate thing about playing quarterback. Like, you can either play it or you can't. I mean, we all know 5-6 guys can be drafted in the first round every year, and half of them are going to be washouts just because something, you know, the pocket presence isn't there. It's the wrong situation. It seems like Caleb's got, I don't know, the it part of it, the intangibles, the something that goes beyond just the basic. He can throw the ball and he can run like the stuff that scouts see. He seems like he's got that extra quality that the good quarterbacks have to have. It's just that feel, the ability to turn nothing into something. I mean, he was obviously really clutch until that last pass last game. And, you know, that was the big thing with Jordan Love this year too. I mean, he's been up until the Denver game last week, he's been really clutch. He's every time he's had to come through, he's done that. And it seems like Caleb's kind of got that trait too. And to me, if you don't have the ability to make the play, your team's just wasting their time, I think, with you. And I don't believe that's the case with Caleb.
Yeah, let's talk about Jordan Love a little bit, because I agree. So watching Jordan Love against the Bears, I thought, oh man, this guy is much improved this year than he has been in the past, specifically when it came to that blitz, right? I mean, Dennis Allen heated him up and he just bested pretty much whatever Dennis Allen threw at him. Now, you obviously watch a lot more Jordan Love than me. What are the biggest improvements you've noticed in his game based on the previous years?
Yeah, one is completion percentage, and this is obviously just the numbers, but he was a below average quarterback completion percentage wise his first couple years as a starter. I mean, he was down probably close to the bottom third, like the upper part of that. He's top 10-ish now, so that's huge. You know, Captain Obvious stuff. You can't win games if you're not completing passes. He's not completing passes to either team, which is helpful. I mean, he had 12 interceptions each of his first 2 years. I think he's got 5 this year after throwing 2 against Denver and 1 against you guys, maybe 6. So the ability to complete passes and not turn a ball over is obviously first and foremost. You mentioned a blitz. I mean, he has carved up blitzes all year. The thing is, he's been terrible against pressure. So it's like he needs to get the protection set, and he needs the guys to pick it up. And when he has time, he's just destroyed it all season long with everybody. Under pressure, though, before last game, he was second to last in the league in completion percentage. So being the blitz has been big. And again, it's just the coming through and it matters stuff. Like his first year as a starter, they were in most of the games, and they lost all of them because when push came to shove, Love didn't make any plays down the stretch. This year, I believe he's tied for second league in fourth quarter comebacks and game-winning drives. So those are the big things. You got to complete passes, but you also have to make the plays when it matters, and he's really done that this year.
Now, obviously, the biggest news around the team, Micah Parsons and the ACL. We all know what Micah Parsons' absence on the field means, but how has that absence been felt around the team?
Yeah, it's, you know, these guys don't think like us. It was crushing in the moment. But there's one thing you learn about professional athletes is they never, ever, 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 ever think like you. They don't think like me. If I was a member of the Packers, I'd say, bleep, we're screwed. Our season's done as far as winning a championship. I mean, they don't think like that. I think that everybody's written them off. I believe they will use that as fuel and motivation to show, hey, that we're pretty good. You know, these guys last year without Micah Parsons were 6th in the NFL in scoring. This year with Micah Parsons, they're 8th. I'm not saying they're worse. They're actually about the same. The point is they were a really good defense last year. And I think they're eager to prove again that it's just not Micah Parsons in the 10 dwarfs out there. This is a legit defense with a legit coordinator, and they'll be fine. I mean, I'm not trying to minimize the loss of Micah Parsons. But I think from a locker room perspective, the beat goes on. These guys are the most competitive people on earth, and they're not going to let an injury change anything. They think they were a Super Bowl team before they traded for Parsons. They think they're a Super Bowl team today.
All right, great. And just going, I guess, around the injury report, Josh Jacobs is banged up. Marshawn Lloyd, banged up. Chris Brooks, banged up. I guess just what's the latest with the injuries in that running back room? And I guess if these guys can't go, what is the plan for Matt LaFleur here?
Yeah, Jacobs is fine. He said on, God, every day is the same, especially in these weird weeks. Tuesday.
Yeah.
He said on Tuesday he'll play. Marshawn Lloyd, he's played one game in his life, and that's no big deal that he's out. Emmanuel Wilson, he's their number one backup, and he's off the injury report. And Chris Brooks, he's kind of their pass protection guy, so he'll probably be fine in a limited role. So I think the backfield's going to be fine. Obviously, Josh Jacobs is the big deal there, and he's been battling through since suffering a knee injury against the Giants back in week 11. He's just tougher than nails. He'll be out there. He played through it last week and was phenomenal against Denver. I'm sure he'll be fine for this game too.
Okay. So no worries about the multiple DNPs. This guy is in maintenance mode. He'll be ready to go.
Correct.
He doesn't need a ton of time on the grass, right?
Yeah. He's a 7th year pro. Been here for 2 years. I mean, he knows everything. Pass protection wise, you know, like any veteran, they can basically just get rolled out there on Sunday.
Okay. And I'm going to ask you a two-parter here. What are the Bears' keys to victory on Saturday night? And then what are the Packers' keys to victory on Saturday night?
Yeah, I'm going to give you one answer for both. It's the turnovers. And that's the most Captain Obvious thing ever. You guys got 30? Is that right? 30 takeaways? I mean, it's an absurd number. As long as the Packers don't beat themselves, they'll have a really good chance. If they give the Bears one or two, it might be too much to overcome without Micah Parsons in that closer role. So, yeah, the ability to take care of the ball will be big. Green Bay entered the Denver game, ranked number one in the league on third downs. Offensively, they were really bad in the second half. They got to get that crank back up. So I would say those are the two big ones.
And of course, I've got to ask you for a prediction of the game. How does it go?
Yeah, I would lean Chicago at this point. Look, Chicago almost beat them here last time. And Tremaine Edmonds, I assume, is going to play. They're at home. The Bears just have to be salivating at this game. It's been, they haven't beaten the Packers at Soldier Field in forever. They must kind of be like blood in the water kind of mode here. I do think that matters, at least to start a game. I don't know if that stuff matters in the third quarter, but I do think it matters to start. Green Bay is kind of ripe for the pickings here. Chicago is really good. I think the Bears turn the tables in this one, would be my early guess.
Bill, thank you so much for the time. Thank you so much for the insights and the knowledge. Where can our audience find your writing on the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, just Google Bill Huber Packers, and I'll probably show up with 5 or 8 stories a day.
All right, great. Thanks, Bill. Have a great day.
All right, take care. Appreciate it.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Well, welcome back, and thanks again to Bill Huber for that Packers knowledge. Great stuff. And that update on Josh Jacobs, I didn't really know. I just see 2 DNPs. I know he re-aggravated the ankle. But hearing that Josh Jacobs intends to play against the Bears are going to have a plan for that. Josh Jacobs didn't tear them up 2 weeks ago, but he had a really nice game. 20 carries, 86 yards, a touchdown. Again, that's not like, wow, unbelievable stuff, but obviously played a big role on offense, scored, and the Bears are going to have to do what they did against Quinshon Judkins last week. If they can stop Josh Jacobs, make him a non-factor, that will go a long way towards the Bears winning this football game. And then, of course, as Bill and I talked about, the Bears, I think this is the key. The Bears have to have a plan B against Jordan Love, because plan A of blitzing him a couple weeks ago simply did not work. This is from PFF. Just to hear how much the Bears got torched by Jordan Love on the blitz, per PFF, when the Bears blitzed, Jordan Love was 9 of 12 for 171 yards and 3 touchdowns. That is a 156.3 passer rating when blitzed. So, Dennis Allen, it's either you got to get more creative with where you're bringing the pressure from, even though I thought he had been doing a very creative job. I think he had been mixing it up with where he was bringing the pressure from. Or there's just got to be a different approach. If you can't heat him up, if that blitz can't get home, what is plan B? So I think that is going to be an interesting chess move. Part of the chess match of football. How do the Bears respond after a pretty quick turnaround and given everything that transpired a couple weeks ago? And then this is another huge, huge, huge thing for me. I think if the Bears want to win this football game, the Bears have to take advantage of the takeaways. Bill touched on takeaways being important, right? He said, if there's one or two, I don't know that the Packers can overcome it. Well, 2 weeks ago, the Packers did overcome the one interception, right? The first drive of the game, Packers are marching. And then CJ Gardner-Johnson intercepts the football. And it's like, okay, here we go. But the Bears couldn't take advantage. They went backwards. They had like the worst type of three and out that they could have. Remember, this was the drive where it looked like Colson Loveland caught the ball. And then it looks like Colson Loveland fumbled the ball. And then it turned out to be, after a challenge, a Colson Loveland incomplete pass. And then Colson Loveland had a false start. Not a great moment, Colson Loveland. Not a great series for you. You've had a great bust out season, second half of the season. Not a great series there. So there's the drop. Then there's the 84 false start. And then incomplete pass. Bears are punting on 4th and 15. That is what can't happen. If the Bears manage to intercept Jordan Love if they can get the ball on the ground and can then fall on the ball. I think more important than just taking the ball away, obviously. Again, he kept saying, like, Captain Obvious over here. Well, it's now my turn to say, well, Captain Obvious over here. Captain Obvious over here, you got to score. The Bears did that against the Browns. Again, I keep going back to last week because last week was utter domination. Last week, the Browns' interceptions turn into touchdowns. Against the Packers, one interception turned into going backwards and punting the ball, going three and out. That can't happen. And again, it's a lot harder to turn the Packers over than it is to turn over Shedeur Sanders. Get this. Jordan Love is tied with Caleb Williams near the bottom of the NFL with just six interceptions. So the guy takes good care of the football. And the Pack are tied with the Bears with 14 fumbles. So 14 times the Bears and the Packers have both put the ball on the ground. That includes special teams. That includes defense. That includes offense. I just put all fumbles in there because all fumbles, no matter where they happen on the field, are important moments. I think the Bears can do it, right? They showed us they can do it. They were so much better in that second half against the Packers. Offense and defense, they need to pick up where they left off. They obviously are motivated. As I said last week with Kenneth Davis, if you haven't listened, take a listen to our last episode where we broke down the win over the Browns. It's clear that these guys were celebrating the win, but still were laser focused on this game on Saturday night. And I think they can do it. I think Ben Johnson has done a good job of focusing the energy of this team, focusing the attention of this team, focusing the emotion of this team positively to get these guys all pulling the rope the same way and to be productive, right? To be harnessing that energy properly. So I don't have any reason to believe that things would change this week. And obviously we've seen the execution. We've seen when this team is executing, they're phenomenal. Now, what I also think, I'm going to get a little fun with it. I think Ben Johnson is going to get deep in his bag of tricks, right? Ben Johnson is known as wonderful play designer, as a guy who can scheme guys wide open, dreams up these wonderful concepts, dreams up these wonderful plays, the stumble bum, the fake fumble, the fake stumble turning into a touchdown that happened against the Bears. I have a feeling we're going to see some of that, right? Coaches typically save these moments for when they feel like they need them. Just feels like this would be an opportunity to draw some of that stuff up, get it up on the call sheet, and actually run it, to further make a statement. Further make a statement that, okay, yes, we're in first place this time. We are not giving it up this time. This is a new Bears team. I am Ben Johnson. I'm leading the way. Caleb Williams is here, and he can do it. He can make all the throws. He can make every single throw. Whatever we need Caleb Williams to do, we feel good that we're going to show you. And we're going to show you with these crazy, crazy plays. I'll get real wild with it. Big man receiving touchdown. I said this. I joined Ant. If you follow Ant, Bears Cork on Twitter. I joined his show the other day. And I'm going to echo a prediction I made there here. How about a little Darnell Wright receiving touchdown? We saw that. We saw that way early. Think back to training camp. Remember that story from training camp where they had the offensive linemen doing the layup lines? They had the offensive linemen going out to catch passes. And who made the play of the day? Darnell Wright. And Ben Johnson was not that coy of saying, like, yeah, that's an audition. When we practice, yes, it's fun, but we also want to see what big man can catch the football. Darnell Wright caught the football and looked awfully athletic doing it. We've seen the guy do cartwheels. Darnell Wright's had an amazing season. What if we cap it off with a little Darnell Wright receiving touchdown? I know it's a totally wild, wild, wild prediction, but I can feel Ben Johnson dialing something like that up to just push this team over the edge, to just give them that extra little something to win this football game, because players love that stuff. When they practice the wild, weird, wacky stuff, A, it's a break of the mundane. It's fun for them. You got guys doing different things. And then when it gets called, when they hear the call, that's like, okay, let's go. I do believe in that little extra juice in those special moments. So I think the Bears do get it done. I think it's going to be a heavyweight fight. I think, hopefully, I'll speak for myself, hopefully, this is the beginning of the Bears-Packers rivalry again, right? As Bill said, Packers just bullied the Bears. Well, hopefully things are changing, and hopefully 2 weeks ago signaled that, yeah, this is a rivalry again, and that this is round two in this heavyweight duo, I suppose. And then who knows? Maybe the Bears take round two, and they meet round three in the playoffs. Wouldn't that be something? It's absolutely on the table. Absolutely on the table. If one of these teams ends up as the second seed and the other team ends up as the seventh wild card team, absolutely on the table for a wild card weekend rematch. Wouldn't that be something? So I'm going to say Bears win 27-24 in round two of what is hopefully a rivalry again. Well, thanks so much for listening to this edition of the Windy City Podcast. For Kenneth Davis, who could not make it today, I am Alex Shapiro. Stick around after the game Saturday night. You know we're breaking down Bears Packers. Can't wait. This is going to be a phenomenal game. Have a wonderful Friday. Have a wonderful Saturday. And enjoy this wonderful football match, people. Have a great one.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.